I know that may not be the most familiar Easter song to some of you, but it's one that's very dear to me. My mom used to sing it to me when I was a kid. And it's very appropriate because today we're going to talk about how Jesus is reworking and tending and remaking the garden of God so that there can be new life and new things growing. Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, let's guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. The garden looked horrible. If a person squinted really hard and had a very good imagination, maybe they could see the beauty that once had been in the garden, but much of it was gone. In some places, weeds and thorns had choked out the flowers and had choked out the vegetables. In other places, parasitic vines had strangled the fruit trees and the other beautiful trees. In some places, someone had not been cautious, and so fire had destroyed plants and trees and grass. And in other places, someone had tried to replant. They tried to plant new things, but it had been inexpertly done. And because it had been inexpertly done, those plants had not taken root properly, and they were withering. And many of them were already brown and dead. The garden had been intended to be a place of beauty, a place to inspire the spirit, a place to provide homes for God's creatures, a place to provide nourishment for God's children. But the caretakers of the garden had not done very well. And so rather than providing the beauty and the nourishment that it was supposed to, the garden simply broke the heart of God every time God looked at it. God tried over and over to teach the people how to tend the garden. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God had inspired men and women to speak as prophets, to proclaim God's message to the people. The Spirit had inspired others to write down words of inspiration and hope and instruction. Some people had listened to God. They had tried to tend their small patch of the garden, but still, as a whole, the garden was trampled and horrible. The garden was not flourishing. Humans, God's children, were not flourishing either. Finally, God said, "I will do something new to try and teach my children. I will do something that seems beyond human understanding, maybe is beyond, fully beyond human understanding. I will come to them through a human being. This person will be the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one, fully human and fully God. Through this person, Jesus, I will teach them to tend the garden. I will show them how broken the garden is, but I will show them that my love is greater than the brokenness, greater than their evil, greater than the pain they feel. Through Jesus, they will know I love them, and they will see just how much I love them." And so Jesus came into the garden. The garden is our world. It's all existence. It's all creation. And Jesus called people together, and Jesus taught them how to tend the garden, how to live the life that God intends. Jesus, the teacher, the Rabboni, as Mary called him, taught that God loved all people. Jesus preached that God desired a loving, profound relationship with all people. Jesus proclaimed that God offered forgiveness of sins, whether or not you were able to offer a sacrifice of animal blood or grain burnt on an altar. Jesus taught that with God's help, we humans can have a relationship with God and that we can love each other, and that the horrors that we inflict on each other, war and injustice and violence and cruelty and hate and indifference, that all of these could pass away. Jesus taught that God loves us and that our lives can change and that God is changing the world. However, what Jesus was saying called into question how others had taught the garden was supposed to be tended. Jesus called into question what some of the religious teachers taught about what God really wanted. Jesus called into question the way human societies and economies and governments often treat human beings. Jesus, with profound courage, spoke up engaged in protests, sought to heal broken people who were suffering. People said to Jesus, if you keep doing this, those with power are going to hurt you. Jesus bravely kept on healing the brokenness that he found, kept on loving people no matter what it might cost him. Some of the leaders, religious and political, may have been so blinded by how broken the garden was that they didn't even see the brokenness anymore. They couldn't see that the garden was horrible. They couldn't see that this was not what God intended. They couldn't see the brokenness and the sickness in the garden. And when Jesus questioned how the garden was, all they heard was, he's calling into question what we are doing. He's calling into question what God wants us to do. We've got to get rid of him. You see, sin is like that. Sin can lead people to hurt others or to hurt themselves and to actually believe, sadly, that that hurt is what God wants them to do, even what God demands of them. Then there were some other leaders who probably didn't have as mixed of motives. They saw that Jesus might cost them money, might cost them power, might cost them authority, and they liked their money and power and authority. And so they had arranged to have Jesus killed in the worst way they could, to try and discredit him, to try to keep the power for themselves. Jesus, the master gardener, who came to humanity to show us how to care for the garden of creation, to show us how to live in this world, was murdered. Jesus' body was then taken down off of a cross, the cross used to kill him. And we are told in the Gospel of John it was buried in a tomb that was located in a garden nearby. And there at the tomb on the first day of the week, early before the sun had risen, one of Jesus' followers came to mourn. Mary Magdalene, means Mary from the town of Magdala. And she came to mourn Jesus, who was her teacher, the man who had healed her spirit and her health, and who had taught her that God loved her and that God loves all people. But when Mary arrived at the garden tomb, to her shock and to her dismay, she found the tomb empty. The stone was rolled away. Mary worried that someone had stolen the body, perhaps to desecrate the body, perhaps to disrespect the memory, perhaps as a final cruelty to Jesus, even after he had physically died. So Mary left the garden, and she went and found others who were followers of Jesus. And soon Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, usually understood as John the Apostle, headed to the tomb, running quickly, wanting to know what had happened at the tomb. They found the tomb empty, as she had said, at least empty of a body, not the burial cloths. They found the cloths that had been there, but they didn't find Jesus. And it's hard to understand exactly what they believed had happened, but it seems that they didn't know that their teacher, the master gardener, their savior, had risen from the dead. The apostles returned to where they were staying in Jerusalem, probably confused and troubled and sad, though we don't know. John doesn't record their emotions. But Mary didn't leave. She stayed outside the tomb in the garden. She wept. What else could she do? Her teacher, her healer, was gone. The person who had helped her life find meaning and purpose, the person who had told her that God loved her, was dead. And now it seemed that somebody was so cruel even to steal his body as a final insult to him. Sometimes tears are appropriate in this life. When we lose people who've shown us God's love, when we see human cruelty up close, when we're in deep pain, we can understand why she was weeping that morning. She looked into the tomb again, but it was no longer empty. There were two beings in the tomb. Two angels, messengers of God, had appeared, and they asked Mary why she wept. Her response is powerful. Her Lord, her teacher, the one whom she followed, the one who had done so much for her, was gone, and she just wanted to know where his body was. Then she turned around and saw Jesus, but she didn't know it was Jesus. It may have been there was something mystical going on. It may have been in her grief and in her tears she simply couldn't see straight. It may have been a combination of many things. But all she saw was a gardener, not the master gardener, Jesus Christ. "Sir, where is the body?" "I will carry it away," she said. She wanted to do a final act of kindness for Jesus. "Mary," he said. She must have turned away after she spoke, because it says she turned back and she looked at him and she said, "Rabboni," which doesn't just mean teacher, it means beloved teacher. Jesus was not just a teacher, not just the one sent from God to show us how to tend the garden that God gave us. Jesus was the Savior, the risen Christ, the proof of God's power over all the brokenness and pain in this world. Through Jesus Christ, we see that sin is not the end. People acting out of sin and fear had murdered a person for crimes that they did not commit. But the risen Christ shows us that God's love is greater than such evil. Through Christ, we see that death is not the end. Sadly, humans die, sometimes due to violence, sometimes due to natural causes. But death is not the end. Rather, we see through the risen Christ that death is simply another stage in our journey closer to God. The risen Christ shows us that forgiveness can come. Jesus, God's word in the flesh, forgave the people who were murdering him as he was nailed to the cross. Jesus, God's word in the flesh, forgave one of the men crucified with him, a thief and a violent man, saying that he would that day be in paradise. That is God's love and grace that is offered to all people. Jesus rose from the dead. God, who can bring life from the dead, can forgive any sin if we only turn our hearts to God. Finally, through Christ, we see that God's love is alive and active in this world. God is not just up in heaven. God is working alongside us in the world today. God is not going to let this garden that we live in stay broken and wounded. God will do all that God can to make the garden what it was created to be, beautiful and life-giving. God is making all things new. In the final book of the Bible, Revelation, we are told that God will even make a new heaven. We are not alone, and God will never, ever abandon us. God will end the sin of this world. God will fight the injustice of this world. God will love all those, even those who are pushed aside or forgotten. The risen Christ shows us that love is the most powerful force in existence, able to overcome any brokenness, any sin. Jesus came to make the garden beautiful again. Jesus also came to invite us to work alongside him in the garden. If we love God as Jesus taught, our lives can grow out of that love, and God's love will change us and bless those around us. You can take a tiny seed and it looks dead. But you put it in the ground and it can grow into something amazing. It can grow to become something big and beautiful that provides love and blessing and food to those around it. And so we humans, if we are planted in the soil of God's love, God can make us grow into something more beautiful and blessed than we can ever imagine. God invites us to take our role in making this garden beautiful again. Now, we won't all have the same jobs. Somebody out here is going to tend the roses. Someone else is going to make sure the potatoes too. I was going to say tomatoes, but both of them. That they're going to grow and provide food for someone, and someone else is going to make sure those orchids are just gorgeous. We don't all have to do the same roles in the garden, and that's okay. The point is, if we all tend our little patch of the garden, all those patches together are going to make the garden more beautiful and be the place that God created it to be. We know the work in the garden isn't done yet. Though Christ lives, Christ has shown us that there is still work to do. Christ has shown us that God's love will make all things beautiful, but there is still pain, there is still suffering, and there is still brokenness. Our teacher, the master gardener, Jesus Christ, still cries with us sometimes. But despite the troubles, the gardener lives. The gardener is with us. The teacher teaches us how things can be and how things will be. If death and sin have been defeated by God, nothing can overcome us. Salvation is offered, and I don't just mean salvation in the next life. God offers us a relationship, a life worth living, a life completely growing out of God's love for us that allows us to love others and bless all those around us. And a life that doesn't end when this earthly life does, but one that goes on continuing to build the kingdom or the kingdom of God. So children of God, let us look to the risen teacher, the master gardener, the savior, who shows us God's love and who shows us that God has defeated all the brokenness in this world. May we find hope in that love. May we ground ourselves in our loving relationship with God. And may we share that love with all we meet as we help make the garden the beautiful place it was made to be. In Christ's name, amen.